Well, welcome everybody. I have my wonderful mentor and good friend, Mr. Rick Curry, with us all the way in the wonderful town of New Orleans, which has a lot of history for my family. As I was telling him before all this started, one of the jobs my mom and stepdad, Kathy and Kenneth Flowers, had was working off of a shrimp boat. And of course, everyone wants to do, you know, funny jokes about Bubba Shrimp Pumpkin and stuff like that. But anyway, and then my friends of the Coast Guard, I had a friend that actually worked with me in California who moved from the New Orleans area because of Hurricane Katrina, and just, you know, great fellowship. And of course, oh yeah, my youth pastor, you know, growing up and doing stuff in Louisiana with me, talking about that, and then him moving to Louisiana. Of course, I'm working on some worship stuff to do a tribute to him recently. But I wanted to bring Rick on today, as this is the week of Christmas. We're still, you know, recovering from the tornadoes that have happened in 4 or 5 states. Now they're talking about other storms coming on their way. Apparently there's a big earthquake off the coast of California as of today. And there's all these signs and wonders of things happening in society. And I realize a lot of people, especially if I look back at my own personal life, a lot of people are not happy during holiday season, whether it's Thanksgiving or it's Christmas or something like that. There's family problems. There's spiritual problems, work problems. And I wanted to bring Rick on just to discuss about how we can have hope in this season and understanding how Jesus and the gospel message of Jesus Christ can set us free from anything that could be hindering us and be able to deal with the situations that we're going through. Thank you, Rick, for coming today. God bless you. Thank you for taking your time to spend with us today.
Hey, Jeremy, thank you so much, man. We love getting to be with you, and thank you so much for this opportunity to be together. We are in New Orleans tonight, as you stated. We love this wonderful city, but we live not far from here, but we're actually here this Christmas week for the birth of our fourth grandchild, which will be our second grandson, and we're just really super excited. Thanks for having us on.
That is so exciting. And as you said, that labor is being induced very soon. So there could be a child before the end of the night.
Let's go.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
man.
We are
ready and excited.
So looking at, let's just start with the tornadoes. As I said off camera, I was working that night. And I was posting, you know, weather updates. I put on my Coast Guard hat, you know, because I was the person, I was an operations specialist. So I was one always sending out, you know, the urgent message. So if someone was on a boat or land or sea or whatever, you would see the messages we'd send out. And I kind of felt a big sense of urgency to send things out. I had friends and family that were in the area and other areas of all the different states trying to drive away from it. Others were saying they were going into their shelters and things. And I know that you have mobilized and are continuing to mobilize with ministry partners and leaders all across this great country of ours to go into the trenches, dig the ditches, so we would say, to help bring the light of Jesus Christ into Kentucky.
Yeah, man, we were born and raised, both my wife and I were born and raised in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and we love Kentucky. We believe that there's a move of God coming to Kentucky that will change the course of the land. And look, here's the deal. When the tornadoes hit, we immediately mobilized with leaders and pastors all over Kentucky, primarily Western Kentucky. You know, it cut a tremendous swath of land all the way up through Kentucky and about four other states. But we've really been working, mobilizing national crisis relief ministries with leaders and pastors in Kentucky. And then also with it being Christmas season, we're also really mobilizing for toys to be given away. So right now we have about an 80,000 square foot warehouse full of all kinds of goods and supplies for families in crisis. And we also have thousands of toys. I mean, semi-tractor trailer loads of toys that we're trying to get out for this season. So it is a remarkable time, and people are hurting tremendously. But at the same time, it is the message, it is the time for the message of hope that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that hope in the midst of struggles, I've seen posts where somebody showed a picture of a church where the hymnals and the Bibles were not moved. I've seen the other post where there was a building where the church was, the front of it was destroyed, and they were working on the cross and found a way to light up the cross. So the message of the cross, the message of hope, the message of Jesus in the midst of pains and sufferings and trials and tribulations and catastrophic loss, whether it's the loss of a home or your belongings or the loss of family and friends through traumatic events like tornadoes and other things that happen, because you got to look at the bigger picture. So everyone sees the devastation of the tornadoes, but they don't see necessarily the devastation of the stress that people are going through, of, you know, the lack of power, the things that they've lost, what's going to happen next, where they're going to live, where they're going to sleep, what they're going to do. Or it's, you know, your other neighbor, you're fine, but you're looking and seeing what's happening and what God is doing. And you are mobilizing, bringing forth that capability to help people understand what the needs are and what's happening. And I've seen with your tiny homes, I've seen with the toys you're trying to do, I've seen with you trying to not just be a voice that someone says, okay, you know, I'm just going to announce there's these problems and all this stuff is happening, and then not have a solution. You have real evidential solutions that you're bringing forth to the area to make an impactful change. Because we both look at the history of Appalachia in Western Kentucky, Kentucky as a whole, a lot of things have been forgotten and a lot of things have been missed out on to bring up Kentucky. Like I said, my father, Sherman Marcel McLeod Jr., he is from Louisville, Kentucky, along with his 11 brothers and the rest of the family. So I've heard stories, and I've reached out to different members online throughout the years and discussed in person about what is going on and what is needed and why things are the way they are. So what are your next steps, Rick, on how you're going to be able to get these toys out, how you're going to be able to reach out to everyone? Said you've been mobilizing and connecting with different people. Like, what are your next steps?
Well, literally right now we have, as far as the toys, we have three distribution centers set up, and we're literally saying to leaders, hey, you can go here. We give them the location. You can go there, get the toys, load them up on the trailer, and give them out. And so really, the kingdom of God must be about solutions. We can't not just be about prophetic words or utterances that somehow give an interpretation to what's going on. We need to be boots on the ground. We need to be a living hope for families today. And that's what we're trying to be. And the toys are just a small part of it. You know, some of the communities, they're already making decisions in Kentucky to never rebuild some of the communities that were so devastated and destroyed. Hundreds, thousands of families completely displaced. And so it is a remarkable time. We live down here on the Gulf Coast, very well acquainted with hurricanes doing the same kind of devastating effect upon families. But in the middle of all of that, the Lord continues to prove himself to be strong and faithful and good, even in the times of great crisis. And we're discovering that again in Kentucky, and in the nation, and we rejoice in the goodness of the Lord for that. And look, pastors and leaders are responding. They're running chainsaws. They're helping their neighborhoods, their families, their friends. And you know what? We've got to do that. We've got to be boots on the ground.
And that's exactly right. You know, I look at Bible verses talking about that people were hungry and thirsty and they gave you something to drink. I think of people like William Booth of the Salvation Army that said, trying to reach out to somebody that has a need and they're hungry and they're starving and they're needing some kind of necessity or training. They end up being turned off by just the excessive preaching and prayers. And at least right now in society, a lot of people are complaining about, stop talking about thoughts and prayers. Where are your actions? And here's that opportunity where we are saying, here is an action item and or multiple action items. Here's a location. Here is the tools that you'll need. Here are the people you can contact. This is the location. This is the time. Yeah. This is the place. This is the minute and the hour where the hands and feet of Jesus Christ come together amongst Western Kentucky and to make changes happen. And like you said, some of this change involves not rebuilding, not doing the same thing that we did before. But it also involves a new opportunity for the gospel of Jesus to come forth into these areas. Yes, certain things may have to change, like the levies that are in New Orleans, that had to change, and different things like that. Rules, regulations have to change. But I can say this with full confidence, that I am certain beyond a shadow of a doubt that Rick Curry will be able to facilitate these changes as he continues to go through and do this to reach the communities. Now, we're talking about hope today, hope in the midst of a Christmas season. Whether you're in New Orleans or you're in Texas or Africa, or maybe you're in Kentucky or New York or wherever you're at, listening to this, the day it's broadcasted, or maybe you're watching this later at another time. The message of the gospel is still very clear, that the hope of Christ can pierce the darkest of stories. I can even think back, you know, because you're talking about toys. I can think back the first earliest memory I have of the Salvation Army giving me a toy. I think I was 15 or 16. I got a harmonica. And I think last Christmas we did the Silver Bell song, we playing the harmonica. And I remember the Salvation Army partnered with Target and they contacted us and we drove from Huntington to Lufkin and we're standing there in the Target and, you know, a bunch of other people are there too. I was embarrassed, mom embarrassed, because the local news people were there too. And they're having this big conversation and everything and whatnot. And there's this shelf, because back then, the trees were not on the ground as you see today. They were actually they had a rising shelf. And instead of having the regular shelves, they were actually raised up. So you were looking up to see the trees. And these were trees that are 5 foot tall, 10 foot tall. We're talking about these huge ornaments, the size of my head. I mean, I'm thinking of the size of my head. I'm 15. And the next thing that happens is we're being told, pick a tree. And we all picked a tree, but then something strange happened at the end. Because all the trees were specific, similar shape or similar colors. And we wanted to remember the moment. So the four or five of us that got a tree, we decided to change out and exchange ornaments per each tree. So they were all not similar. They were all unique. And we wanted to change that out. And I can remember that. I'm 41 and that was 15. So imagine what's going to happen to a kid or an adult that gets some kind of necessity, whether it's a home or whether it's clothing or it's a toy or something. Normally that transforms that person's life in that moment. Yes, there may be a few bad seeds moment where something amazing happens and someone does something really nice and then they take it for granted and they forget about it and they become old and they just become angry and they just go to hell because they never get saved. There might be a few of those moments, but for the most part, people will act like I did. They will remember the opportunity. They will remember how God brought forth an amazing opportunity to help someone. And then let's look at on the other side of the coin. What about the people that actually are the ones doing the work? and about what God is trying to do in their lives and the lives of those that are trying to help. There's something to be said about servanthood and humility in servanthood and servanthood leadership and what happens to a group of pastors and a group of ministers when they come alongside and say, I want to give a chance on this person. I want to try and help this person. I want to make true change in somebody's life. Rick, do you have any stories that you would like to share about making changes that you've seen throughout this journey, whether it's from the tiny homes or the or working with, you know, the toys or something else that's going along that you've seen where maybe it's another minister or someone else working in the church where God has made some impactful change?
Yeah, absolutely. And the truth of the matter is, I was thinking a moment ago, Jeremy, when you were talking, I remember hearing somebody told me one time that if you touch the head of a child, you will touch the heart of the parent forever. And so one of the things that we're discovering, really, the great story is not just one story of a particular standout, but really and truly, the greatest story is that the number of people today who are desperate for hope, and yet we're discovering a number of leaders and pastors and all kinds of business leaders that are stepping up to the plate to really get engaged. I really believe the miracle story that you're looking for right now is the miracle story of how God has always chosen to use ordinary men and women to do absolutely extraordinary things. And, you know, I could tell you of a man, a friend of ours, who had a little bitty garage up in Northern Kentucky, but his heart was to help the multitudes. This week, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, through the Kentucky State Police, gave him oversight of a 100,000 square foot warehouse, completely full of amazing gifts that he could distribute and give throughout the community. Look, here's why he was able to get that assignment, is because he allowed his vision to be put into action in his life. Every great story that I know that we could share right now is not the story of the person sitting on a couch or sitting in a chair, you know, kind of bemoaning the way things are. But the really great stories are those who have a vision for what could be, and then they put their hand to the plow, they put their feet on the ground, they strap up their boots, and they go out intentionally to make a difference in the life of somebody else. And we're just seeing that over and over and over again. And we've had people come in from states all around the country, helping, sowing, giving, loving families back into a place of restoration. But look, Jeremy, here's the bigger deal. The president came, and we appreciated that visit, to Mayfield, Kentucky, and to Dawson Springs this last week. The media was hyped all over the story. Now it's Christmas week. When Christmas gets behind us, the story, as far as a national story, will begin to quickly wane. But you know what? The people, the needs are still the same. So what we're looking at is really to build a network of ordinary men and women who are willing to labor together for the cause of not just awakening, but in fact, a reformation, if you will, of coming together and loving people in the kingdom of God. And so this, whether it's Kentucky or Illinois or Tennessee or the Gulf Coast in a hurricane or California in an earthquake or whatever it may be, wherever the crisis is, the story is always the same. And so what we want to do is love for the long haul, not just in the immediacy, not just when the cameras are on, not just when it's a big media story, but after Christmas, when nobody's looking and parents are trying to get their kids back into school and the kids don't know how to adjust and everybody's in trauma And so that's where the body of Christ must become a magnificent manifestation of the love of God for families, for children, and continue to build a brighter and a bolder and a more brilliant future. And that's what we're believing God for.
And I do believe it too, because they always say that when you have a moment to just help someone, and I kind of think back on some situations, you know, when I was at the homeless shelters and other places, or hearing stories from other people where it's just that one shot, you know, okay, here's this, you know, and then they just go off their way, or it's a ministry moment. Here comes a drama team and they do a drama and then they leave and then nothing else happens. And you're all like, but what else is there for me? Or like how we do all the conferences every month, and what's in between one conference to the next conference, what's happening behind the scenes that nobody knows about. If you don't have those moments, those stepping stones, you miss out on amazing ministry opportunities. You miss out on what God is trying to do and where God wants to move you next. And what I think is going to happen is souls are going to get saved. People's lives are going to change. We're going to break the demonic holds on people's lives and in all these different areas, because depending on where you grow up and how you operate, you always hear people talk bad about the poor, or talk bad about this situation, or talk bad about all that stuff. But then when you start doing things like that, those conversations become fewer and more in between, and not the same as they used to be. And it ends up causing a deafening silence in the room, in the county, in the state, and then across the country, when all these different moments come together, and then you're seeing the hope of Christ moving forward. And I know you talk about this in your book too, about hope. And you talk about how God wants to mobilize and raise up the generations and transform people's lives, so that you realize you're not waiting until you go to college. You're not waiting until something else happens. You have to start where you are right now, with the tools that you have and the place that you want to go. And since we are, you know, touching a little bit on the book, I thought you might want to talk about that for a moment in regards to everything we've covered so far, because I feel like this book that you've written, there's a lot of people that need to read this book. There's a lot of other people that not necessarily are going to want to read this book. They need to purchase this book because somebody else they know needs to read this.
Yeah. Well, thanks for mentioning it. And, you know, I was thinking when you were talking, I was so honored to have, you know, Apostle Dutch Sheets wrote the foreword for my book. And then also Bill Johnson out at Redding, California at Bethel Church, he wrote a wonderful endorsement for my book. As a matter of fact, his endorsement begins with the words that faith does not deny a problem's existence. It just simply refuses to give it a place of influence. And so that's kind of how he endorsed and introduced this book. It is this book right here that is entitled The Sound of Awakening, a prophetic call for ordinary men and women, everyday men and women, to rise up and take their place in America's and, in fact, the world's greatest awakening. And I know that sounds big, but I'm telling you right now, we are living in a providential moment of time, and the Spirit of God is going to begin to move upon the hearts and lives of ordinary, everyday people, and he's going to rise them up. He's going to raise them up out of obscurity. He's going to raise them up out of places of trauma and trouble, and he's going to begin to establish them as great influencers in the kingdom of God. So the book, The Sound of Awakening, it really is kind of the background of it is about the dream I had of the Appeal to Heaven flag. Too long of a story to go into tonight, but what we know is that there is a great hope being released by the Holy Spirit today in the hearts and lives of people to rise up and to make a difference. And I want you guys to know, if you're watching this, I want you to know, I take these kind of moments very, very seriously. And I believe that you are watching this broadcast by the providence of God. So I want to encourage you. You may have been reeling under the heavy weight of so many things that seem to be pressing down on our culture and in this generation. But I want you to know there is a way of escape. There is one that is giving great hope. And so if you've been discouraged, if you've felt depressed, if you've been really distraught by the times in which we live, then The Sound of Awakening is a great book for you to begin to read. It's an easy read. I really wrote it kind of almost in a story form format because I'm a storyteller at the end of the day. And so I love to tell stories about men and women of history whom we look at them kind of in the rearview mirror after God has used them mightily. And then we really elevate them in our opinion. But seldom do we see what they were like when they were first getting started. So what we do is we compare ourselves with those at the end of their story rather than at the beginning. I want you to know that your life right now is at the beginning of a magnificent story that if you will learn to celebrate what God has done in you and what he's going to do through you, then you will indeed find great hope. In this book, we really tried to release abundant hope. It's a book full of hope, but we also wanted to release practical principles that we can implement into our lives every day. Here's why. I really believe that we're living in a culture and in a time right now that is saturated with revelation, but we're lacking activation. So what I want to encourage you to do is don't just sit back and wait to receive another word, but take the last word that you got. Maybe you heard it in a song. Maybe you saw it in a dream. Maybe it was given to you as a prophetic word, or maybe you stumbled across it in your devotional time or in reading the Bible. But what I want you to know, go back to what you last heard and then begin to act and respond to that. And I'm just telling you right now, by the way, The Sound of Awakening in the Earth is the sound of your life, your gift, your contribution. We need to be ready to take our place in this magnificent move of God. So I just want to encourage you with that. And you can order the book on Amazon. You can go to our website, rickcurry.org, or it's also at Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Target. It's absolutely everywhere. And we're super excited about that. I saw it today at Barnes & Noble. And so you can just pick it up wherever you are. And thank you so much, because at the end of the day, here's what we discover. You are the strategy for God's awakening. You are the strategy. You are the sound. So come on, be the sound. Be the sound of awakening right where you are. So I appreciate, Jeremy, so much you mentioning the book and allowing me to share a little bit about it. But we so much appreciate Bill Johnson and Dutch Sheets wrote a magnificent foreword for the book. Both of these guys are friends of mine that we just love and appreciate. And like millions of people, we really admire their ministries. And I appreciate them both contributing to The Sound of Awakening.
Amen. And the sound of what God is doing in the midst of all these things happening right now, and where our lives can interject and intersect into these moments where we're just, you know, just a couple of guys, a couple of girls, young and old, nobody, no titles to our names, nothing of consequence, but your life can make a difference and a bigger impact. As I said, picking up this book, getting involved with what Rick is doing in Western Kentucky, you will not regret it, because the blessings that God will place upon your life and your family when you're making changes to a community is a lifelong change. And it will be a lasting change in your life if you allow God to transform your life. For those of you that are struggling today, as I said at the beginning of this broadcast, this is a message about hope and how hope can be found in Jesus Christ, and how hope can happen in the midst of a New Orleans location where my mom and stepdad got some gifts for Christmas. And there's a good possibility Rick might actually end up going through one of these areas that my mother and stepfather went through, or where Mr. Barry went through, who just recently passed away, and so many others we can think about. And going forth through these places that people have been through, God's message is very clear today. As I said earlier, and I have to say it again, I know a lot of people are hurting. There are a lot of families that have been torn apart. There are a lot of people struggling with things that they have lost. But in this moment of suffering, in this moment of loss, the hope of Jesus Christ is found amongst the body of Christ as they work together to help restore people's lives and be able to bring forth the capability so that lives are transformed from the inside out, not for just the short term, but for the long term.
Amen, brother.
So, Mr. Curry, I want to ask you at this point, I think we need to pray for, obviously, we're going to pray for Western Kentucky. We're going to pray for this Christmas season, but I'm pretty sure he's probably feeling it like I'm feeling it right now. We have to pray for New Orleans. We have to pray for the burden of the loss. We have to pray for what God is trying to do right now and getting people's attention. Because when we try and do this on our own, and whether it's a death or it's a loss of a job or it's a loss of transportation or a loss of a home or a loss of a child or a loved one or a friend, that can totally change someone's life and bring them down a road where they're completely in the darkness. People are struggling with finances. People are struggling to figure out a solution and a plan of what they're going to do in their lives. But right now, we're going to pray for your situation. We're going to pray for your community. We're going to pray for our nation, that the hope of Jesus Christ will bring the light in the darkness. Mr. Rick, can you start praying, please?
Yeah, so Father, right now, we just pray. Mm-hmm. For every family, every individual that's watching this broadcast right now.
Amen.
And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in every heart and in every life. And Lord, we ask you that you would touch families during this Christmas season, that you would put your hand upon them. God, that you would anoint them with a breaker anointing. Father, I see a breaker anointing coming up on this call, and that, Father, you're breaking people, breaking chains off of people, breaking a spirit of despair or depression in the name of Jesus. And Father, right now, let people receive wonderful hope. The gift of hope is the greatest gift that we can give this Christmas season. So, Father, let that be so in the name of Jesus. Touch the leaders in Kentucky, but touch them all over the country, Father. Families are hurting everywhere. And we ask you, Lord, right now to move mightily by your Holy Spirit upon every person that this call has come across your phone or whatever device you're watching this on. We say it's no accident that you are here. It's the providence of God that you're watching right now. So we release hope to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray that your family and that your home would be blessed by God in this wonderful Christmas season. And we pray for you, your families, your community, your churches. And we ask right now that the fire of awakening would come up on your life and that God would raise you up that you might take your place in this great awakening of God. And we bless you, Lord, and we give you glory, and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mr. Curry, for this opportunity to share the message of what hope is and what you're doing behind the scenes that some people may have not even known. They now know about your book, The Sound of the Awakening. They know about your story and the testimonies that we have shared tonight, that the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ is alive. It is present. It is current in the lives of Americans and people all across the earth. There are stories like this.
Absolutely.
Let's just hope that God will continue to break the sound amongst the nations.
And let me be really clear about something. What God's doing in the earth is about the United States, but it's not about the United States. What God is doing in the earth is as much for Vietnam. It's as much for Korea or Africa or Asia or Europe. It's for the world. I'm telling you, we're on the verge of a global awakening where ordinary men and women who tonight have totally discounted themselves from ever being used wildly by God. But I'm telling you right now, God's about to raise them up. He's raising them up in Asia. He's raising them up in Africa. He's raising them up in the Americas. He's raising them up all over Europe. He's raising them up. And so I want to encourage you to become a part of this remnant move of God that's contending for the nations of the earth. I know we were closing out, but I just felt that, Jeremy. And so thank you for having me on. We love you guys, man. And thank you so much for having me on, okay?
Thank you so very much, Mr. Rick Curry, for this amazing opportunity to share about what God is doing and how you can contact. We'll post all the information below.
Thank you so much.
How you can mobilize and work.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Okay, bless you. Bye-bye.